Now tonight we're going to turn back again to the Gospel of Luke, only going back one chapter into chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we'll read from verse 4 down to the end of verse number 18. And this is, of course, the story of the well-known parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8, reading at verse number 4. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they which that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, to keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the joy of being able to join our voices together in the corporate praise of our blessed Lord and Savior. And we thank thee, O God, that we have much to smile about. We have much to praise thee for, because thou hast done great things for these poor benighted souls of ours. We know, Lord, that we're not worthy of the least of thy mercies. And yet, Lord, thou hast blessed us abundantly and given to us every need. And Father, we pray this night that thou would bless us as once more we come to thy word. We bless thee, O God, that's not some human philosophy, but it is the word which liveth and abideth forever. And grant, O God, that thou would give us ears to hear and hearts to understand and feet and hands to do the will of the Lord. We ask thee, Lord, now that thou would bless thy word. O God, we recognize that it's not by man's might or by man's power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so we pray that thou would speak to us by the power and the conviction of the great author, even the Holy Ghost, and grant our Father this night that thou would draw us just a little closer to thee on our way to heaven, and for those who had never got on that way, that even tonight they'd be born again. Answer prayer and bless us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are gathered tonight, as we do frequently, for a church service. And in the average church service, you have a speaker, and tonight that is me, and you have the listeners, and tonight that is you. Now I speak and you hear, and hopefully you understand. The faculty of hearing that God has given to us is a marvelous one. For example, when we speak, we do not speak naturally. We have to be taught how to speak. The little child has to be taught how to speak. But we don't have to be taught to hear, because we hear naturally. The only thing is we have to learn how to interpret that which we hear. Now, hearing is a marvelous God-designed and God-given faculty, because up here I utter sounds, and they are of varying pitch and of volume. And despite the fact that we are of diverse culture and diverse accents and so on, you seem to understand what we have to say. The organ plays the notes for the tune, and your brain recognizes, and you're able to respond and to sing along with the organ as we sing the hymns of Zion. Now, how does hearing work? Well, it's a wonderful thing, because the most obvious thing is that all of us have two appendages, one on either side of our heads, fairly small in humans, large in donkeys and in elephants and creatures of that nature. But the Lord has given us these two appendages stuck on the outside of our head. Then from there, these things, they catch the vibrations that are there. Then they pass in through those into the ear passage and come down to the ear drum. And the drum there acts like a regular drum. And then beyond that drum, the vibrations go and they meet three bones. One of them is called the hammer, one is called the anvil, and the other is called the stirrup. And then beyond those three bones in the inner ear, you have what is called the bony and the membranous labyrinth. And that is where the miracle of hearing takes place, because the vibrations that you hear, they are turned into electrical impulses that your brain can read and understand and interpret. And the more we look at the human body, we have to say with the psalmist that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, you'll already be realizing where I'm going tonight, because I want to focus on verse number 18 of this portion that we just read, Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, where the Lord has just delivered the parable of the sower. And he says to his disciples, "Take heed therefore how ye hear." Not just a case of hearing, but take heed how ye hear. Now, I want first of all just to consider the master's communication, because earlier on in verse number 4 it says, "When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable, so there was something for them to hear." Now, a parable, as you know, simply is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. If you want a little more complex definition, it is an allegorical narrative of real or fictitious events from which a moral is drawn. In other words, it is a physical story with a spiritual meaning. That was the way the Lord preached. He took ordinary things of life, he applied a spiritual message, and the ordinary story carried the spiritual truth into the memory of the people who heard. And so it is an important thing, an important truth the Lord is getting over here, and we are to listen to him. Now, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. We are to listen carefully to what the Lord has to say. Now, the parable of the sower, which I'll not be dealing with very much detail tonight, that the parable of the sower was his very first one. And you'll find that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And because it is the first use of the parable by the Lord, it's important that we get it right. And it's not difficult to get it right, because he tells the story of the sower that's sowing his seed by the wayside, the rock and the thorns, and in the good ground. He tells that story. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's no difficulty to us, because the Lord himself, he acted as the interpreter. And he tells us what this physical story meant in the spiritual sense, and as he was giving it the freight of carrying the spiritual message. Message quite simple, that the sore that he speaks about is a picture of himself. We're told that in Mark's Gospel, he was, and also in Matthew, he himself was the sower of the seed. And he's still sowing the seed of the word today. You remember how that Paul said that he had planted and Apollos had watered, but God gives increase. The word of God is still being sown today. The Lord uses his instruments to sow the seed, but the basic sower is the Lord himself. Then he tells us very clearly in this chapter here that the seed, it is the word of God. Verse number 11, the seed is the word of the Lord. And what a wonderful seed it is, because over in 1 Peter we're told that we are born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So Jesus is the sower, the seed is the word of the Lord, and the soil that the seed is sown in, obviously, is the heart and the mind and the ears of the hearer. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Always remember, as I'm sure you know, there's nothing wrong with the sower. That's the Lord. Neither is there anything wrong with the seed. It is the very best seed. The problem comes with the reception and with the soil of the believer's heart, because the problem is in the receiving end, that we do not receive the seed the way we ought to. And so the Master's communication, he spoke here by a parable. Then you have the Master's command. Because when Mark tells us his version of this parable, the very first word that he gives to the Lord Jesus Christ is the word hearken, which is a word simply that means listen. Now tonight we should first of all rejoice that the Lord has spoken to us. You imagine what it would be if God did not speak to us? We don't have the God of the deist who wound up the world and had it going here but does not have personal contact with his people. We have the Trinitarian God of the Bible, and he does speak to us, and he speaks to us in a language that you and I can understand, the language of his word. And so we should first of all pause and rejoice that God does speak to us, and he tells us that we are to listen. And then also to notice that as you read this parable in Luke and also in Matthew and Mark, and to notice that a hearing is emphasized over and over again. The word hear, the word heard, the word hearing on its cognates, you'll find 37 times. So the Lord is underlining over and over again that we are to listen to what God has to say, and we are to make sure how we listen to what the Lord is telling to us. And the command that the Lord has given here is a very plain one. It is hearken. And in this world where you have so many competing sounds, there is the need to tune our ears to listen to the still small voice of the Lord. Now I come to the point that I want to elaborate more, and that is the Lord's caution, where he says here, take heed therefore how ye hear. But not only that, I think we can also say, and that would come from Scripture, take heed what ye hear, because it's important that we listen to that which is right. Now, in the Bible, you'll discover that the preacher has a problem. And Paul spoke of that problem, and others spoke of that problem. And you find it in the book of Acts, where Stephen was being led out, and he was going to be martyred, the first martyr for the faith. And Stephen made a presentation of the Word of God, and were told that they stopped their ears. they would not listen to the message that Stephen had, and they should have listened, because not to listen was to lead them to eventual damnation. And very often you find that the preacher's problem today is just the same, because they stop their ears. I remember down on Wharton Avenue years ago, we were dealing with the coming visit of John Paul II to this country, and I felt necessary to minister on John Paul and Mary, because he is, or was, not a Christian, but a Marian, because he committed his whole life, totus tuus, completely yours, to Mary. And so I dealt with that, and in the first part of my message, I spoke about what the Bible says about Mary, because Mary is a wonderful person, greatly blessed of the Lord, blessed among women, so we looked at that. And there was a gentleman there that night who happened to be a member of Opus Dei, and he was quite important as a layman within the bounds of the Roman Catholic Church. And he was quite happy when I was preaching about what the Bible said about Mary. But then when I turned over to deal with Rome's position, he told me afterwards, Frank, he says, what I did, I stopped listening, and I put my hand in my pocket, and I fiddled my rosary, and I prayed for you. Well, he mustn't have prayed well enough, because a dear soul came to the Lord that night through the ministry of the word of the Lord. So there are problems with people stopping their ears that don't want to hear the truth. And that's what the Lord wants us to listen to, is the truth. The Bible tells us of blessed ears, for example, over there in Matthew chapter 13, in the same chapter where you have the parable of the sower. Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So there are blessed ears. But then in the very same chapter of Matthew, you have blighted ears, because down there in verse number 14, it says, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand." So that's why it's important that not only do we listen to the word of God, but that we are careful how we listen to the word of our God. Now, in this parable of a sower, there are four grounds. And I want you to notice in Luke's presentation of it, the emphasis upon the word hearing in each of these four grounds. For example, in verse number 12, "Those by the wayside are they that hear." So they heard. They heard the voice of the Lord. They heard the parable. They heard the preaching and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it says, "Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved." They had hard hearts. They were waterproof, as it was, to the water of life. They were impervious to the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were unruffled by the message of the word. They were untouched both by the mercy of the Lord on the one hand and the judgment of the Lord on the other hand. As we heard this morning, that the gospel was lying on their minds, but it never had got to their hearts, because the devil stole the seed away before it could take seed in their hearts. The second ground was a stony ground in verse number 13. "They on the rock are they which, when they hear," so they also heard, "they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." And I'm sure you have met people like that. I certainly have met them, where they appear to come to Christ. They fill the place with their sight and their sound and their splendor, and a few weeks are gone, back to the world again. Because what's happened? A trial has come along, a temptation has come along, affliction has come, and as soon as that comes, then away they go. But my friend, they didn't learn the lesson that in affliction and trial, the Lord is with you to bring you through. So the stony ground here is the emotional, the superficial, and the one who is fine until the trial of faith comes when they go away. The third ground is in verse 14, the thorny ground. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard. So they heard also. And it says they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So here people who they seemingly respond to the word, they hear the gospel, they know what they have to do, but their lives are choked by the cares of this world and the deceits and lusts of this world, and they cannot hear because of the sound of the world round about them. Somebody said that with your hearing, if you were to train it properly, you could listen to the ticking of a watch in the street where there's traffic going back and forward. We need to focus our hearing to hear the ticking of time and to hear the word that the Lord would have for those who know not Him. The fourth ground is the good ground, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word. So the wayside, they heard. The stony, they heard. The thorny, they heard. And the good, they heard. And it says, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And so they come to respond. And there are many here tonight who have heard that word. Their soil, the soil of their heart has been good ground. And like the Ethiopian eunuch and like Cornelius in Caesarea, they have responded to the word of the Lord. Just a word of encouragement to the preachers who are here and those who are speaking in various places. Be encouraged. Because you preach your heart out and you want to see souls saved, you preach your heart out, and so often on a Sunday night you go home because you have not seen the response you'd like to see. The problem is that the seed has fallen on the bad ground, and we are reminded of the bad ground. But thank God this parable reminds us that while there is stony and wayside and thorny ground, there is also good ground. And the Lord brings the people in, and that word reacts to their hearts, and they come and they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now I want to get down to this thing here about taking heed. First of all, we need to take heed what we hear, not just as the Lord says, how. There is a need, and we heard it this morning with regard to television and the internet and so on. There's a need to stop our ears to the world's wicked talk. Now the Lord has given us a parable here, an allegory. And Lord Macaulay said that the greatest allegory ever written, apart from what you find in the Bible, is the Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan. And my friend, if you have not read the Pilgrim's Progress, let me encourage you to do so, and not just once, but over and over, because the Pilgrim's Progress is stock full of the teaching of the Word of God. But then Macaulay said that the second greatest allegory printed by men since Bible times was Bunyan's other work known as the Holy War. And in the Holy War, he likens the heart and the soul of man to a city, the city of man's soul. And dwelling in that city and governing that is a picture of the depraved man. The devil is sitting there, Diabolus as he calls him, is sitting ruling. And then Bunyan points out that there are gates into our minds. He speaks about the mouth gate. He speaks about the ear gate. And that's what we need to be careful about today, that we listen only to those things that are good and proper for us. Because if you listen to something, again, with regard to the television, You listen to something late at night on television that is not convenient and not good, is unholy. You go to bed with that thought on your mind. And you'll waken up in the morning, your sleep will not be so good, and you'll probably have that evil thought upon your mind. Far better to go at night and go to bed after having read something that is of benefit, something the Word of God or some comment upon the Word of the Lord. So let us be careful what we hear, because what we hear will have an influence on how we live and what sort of people we're going to be. Now this matter of the question, how do we therefore hear? Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. And the first thing is, we are to hear carefully. We're to hear carefully and endeavor not to miss a word. Now, I was reading Spurgeon, and he has obviously had the same problem that preachers have. And he said, you know, sometimes I look over my congregation and there are people here, and he says they remind me of a chrysalis. Now, a chrysalis, one of those things you might find on your window pane where a creature has hung up until it grows and matures. And he says, Spurgeon said, I would go and I'd find one on my window and I'd take it expecting to find inside some sort of creature. But he says, all I found was a shell because the creature is gone. And he says, in my congregation, I look down and I see people that I think are real people and that they're listening and they're learning. But as I go and touch them and discover their bodies here, but the people are not here because their minds are a million miles away. And then he gives a wonderful illustration. And that illustration is that he says, you imagine you go into a room. Oh, an imposing room with great big volumes of books, and there's a table there and chairs all around, and there's several people there sitting around this table, and there's one man in the middle. And that one man in the middle who's going to address them is a lawyer. And he says that what they're there for is the reading of a will. Somebody has died. And here's the family, they come round for the reading of the will. And he says, you can be sure that not one of those people round that table will miss one word that the lawyer says, even though what he says will be couched in legal jargon and made up the easiest to understand, they will be hanging on every word. And yet, we come to the house of God, and we come to listen to far greater than what any lawyer has to say. We come to listen to God speaking about the inheritance that he has for those that love him. And yet people, they sit in the church, and if you ask them going out, where was the preacher preaching from, they'd be hard-pressed to tell you because they never heard a word of it. My friend, Jesus said, take heed therefore how ye hear, take heed carefully. I have had occasions that have made me smile, but it's not really a laughing matter. As somebody whom I have observed in the service has been fast asleep for most of the service. And the door they say, that was a good message, Pastor. And I begin to think, well, maybe their judgment of the goodness or not so goodness of it was its ability to put them to sleep. How do we hear? We are to hear very, very carefully. To listen, because God is speaking. Then, how are we to hear? We are to hear personally. Because to go back again to Spurgeon's illustration that I thought was very, very good. Back to the legal office and the people sitting around there, and the lawyer, he begins his dry dissertation on the legal jargon of the will that's before him. And he says that the people will be hanging on the words of a lawyer. But when the lawyer comes to bit, he says, now there's Uncle Pat John, or whatever his name is. And to Pat John, so-and-so the deceased has left so and so and so and so. Now the others who are sitting around there are not terribly concerned of what Pat John got. So they may not be listening very much at that time. But as soon as he comes along and says and mentions their name, then all of a sudden it's a personal message. What has he left to me? I've got to hear every word. And so they listen to hear every single word to see how they have benefited from the will that is before them. You see, they may not be interested in what Pat John was getting, but they certainly were mightily interested when their own name was called. And when we come to the Church of Jesus Christ and to the service, we come here for God to speak to us. And while he does speak to us in a collective sense, he also speaks to us personally. And when you come to listen to the word of God, you should pray, Lord, help me to hear carefully. And help me, Lord, to hear personally. What is the word that you have for me? How good it is when you hear people going out and saying, that was just the word I needed. While the preacher may not have been aware of what that person required for encouragement or guidance or even rebuke, that we don't know that. But how good it is to hear somebody go out and say, that was the word for me, because they were listening personally and they got the message. How are we to hear? We're to hear carefully. We're to hear personally. And then we are to hear immediately. Right now, not tomorrow, right now. Because the sermon in the service is for the here and the now. Well, I've observed some people go along to a restaurant and perhaps they order more than they can eat. And so what they do at the end, with a half-filled plate, so they call the waiter or waitress and say, would you give me a doggy bag? In that bag it goes, or box it goes, and goes home, and they'll have it tomorrow. But I don't care what you say, what you have tomorrow of heated up leftovers is not nearly as good as the thing that you got in the here and now. And the Lord wants us likewise, when he gives the message, to eat the manna of God right now, and to listen to what God has for today. Now, one sister mentioned to me this morning that she couldn't be here because she was down looking after the kids in the basement. And said, I'm getting a tip. Well, we give her the excuse. That's all right. You can do that because you couldn't be in the service. But the Lord wants us here immediately to listen to what God has for us today. And he will provide for us what we need for tomorrow. And then finally, that how do we hear? We ought to hear carefully. We ought to hear personally. We ought to hear immediately. And then we ought to hear longingly. Because we come to the church service and the solemn gospel meeting, we come to hear a word from God. And some people, I fear, come along and they go to church, as it were, but they don't come with a desire, Lord, I need to have my soul spoken to today. And so because of that, there's not much preparation made of the heart in coming to the house of God. And when they do come and don't get something to bless them, then they go home and they have, as we say, roast preacher for dinner because they didn't get what they wanted. But there is another case that the fish will rise when they're hungry. And people who are hungry for the word of God, they will come and they'll desire. And people who come with a poor appetite, well, if you have a poor physical appetite, it's going to lead to bodily weakness. And if you have a poor spiritual appetite, it's going to lead to spiritual weakness. If you have a poor appetite for the word of God, it's going to have the very same effect as if you did not have the physical appetite. And so tonight, friends, let us examine ourselves. When we come to listen to the Word of God, that we heed the Word of the Lord, take heed, therefore. Because He's speaking here about this parable. When they hear, they hear, they hear, they hear. And He says, hearken, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. And so God wants us to hear His message. And I do pray that when you go home after hearing the preaching of the Word of God, not just tonight, but other times, that you'll be able to go home and say, the Lord had a word for me. And people wonder about how, because they don't have direction in their lives, and they come to church and say, I get nothing out of the preaching. It is because they have not come with the hunger. They don't come longing to hear something. May God give us the ears to hear, and the hearts to understand, and the feet and the hands to do the will of the Lord. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the fact that Thou dost deign to speak to us from heaven, Thy dwelling place. Thou hast given to us Thy Word. O God, we thank Thee that Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. And we thank Thee, O God, for the miraculous sacrifice He made on the cross on our behalf. And He came to bring us the good news. O God, we pray that each one of us may hear with the hearing of faith, understanding that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Our Father, we pray for any who are here tonight who know not the Lord, and who may have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, and will have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ in the intellectual sense, but never have had the heart experience of Jesus Christ as the Savior of their souls. O God, we pray that Thou would give them that longing to be fed with the manna sent down from heaven. And grant, O God, that even this night they would come to know the Lord, whom to know is life everlasting. Hear this our prayer, and bless Thy word to our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.